Hello there, I'm Susan Bradley, and welcome to the For Modern Mothers podcast, a podcast dedicated to mothers and mothers-to-be, here to help you navigate your own unique journey through modern motherhood. In each episode, there'll be insights and wisdom. We'll be covering everything from fertility and trying to conceive, to pregnancy and birth, and onwards through your life as a mother. Expect conversations around subjects and issues that will support, inspire, inform, and empower you. From health and well-being to body image, self-care, mental health, birth, pregnancy, work-life balance, relationships, the whole lot. With my specially invited guests and experts, as well as sharing my own knowledge with you. Enjoy, and don't forget to subscribe too. Welcome everybody to another episode of the podcast, and I'm really excited. I have got a brilliant guest today that we're going to chat with, who is super experienced and has a wealth of knowledge, and that is Anne Gledhill-Myhill, who has a range of expertise. So she does a number of things, and I'm going to hand it over to her to explain exactly what all that knowledge and information and the she provides are. So welcome, Anne, good to have you here.
Thank you, it's great to be here. So yeah, I'm Gledhill-Myhill. I am a clinical acupuncture specialist in fertility, pregnancy and women's health. I'm also an emotional health coach, and I'm an expert midwife. So I've been kind of immersed in this field for well over 30 years. I've been a midwife for 34 years, and then I retrained as an acupuncturist. And my interest has always been in the fertility, pregnancy and women's health. So I now have the huge privilege to stand alongside people on that journey, right from, you know, moment of conception and before, to right through to the menopause often. So, yeah.
Wow, amazing. Yeah, what a privilege indeed to be able to see that whole kind of journey through and unfold. Amazing. So 34 years as a midwife, that's amazing. That is, what a privilege that must be, what an honour.
Yeah, it has been. And it's lovely to still be in contact with some of the people that I was midwife for many years ago. So yeah, it has been my life.
Yeah. Oh, so that's so must be so fulfilling. And then to be able to add to that this extra level of specialization and expertise and knowledge as a acupuncturist. More about that, because that's really kind of the focus of the podcast. I know something that obviously you're extremely passionate and knowledgeable about.
Yeah, well, yeah, I came to acupuncture after I'd been ill, actually, with ME, chronic fatigue syndrome, and I thought I wasn't going to be able to work again, and needed to work out what I could do with a young family and using my background in midwifery and my love of all things pregnancy, really. And so I kind of stumbled across it. I'd stumbled across acupuncture when I had IVF myself. I saw a little note on the clinic wall saying that acupuncture increased your chances of conception. So here I was as a 40-year-old single woman embarking on pregnancy alone. And I thought, well, why wouldn't you do it if it increases your success rate? So I went along to an acupuncturist and had acupuncture. And I was successful in conceiving my twins. So that's really how I stumbled across acupuncture. And then a little bit later, when I was unwell, I decided that it was my opportunity to train, really. So I qualified and decided that pregnancy and fertility were going to be my interest. There's, you know, huge opportunities with acupuncture, but it seemed an obvious way to go, really, and that's what I've done ever since. So I see women on that whole continuum, really. I would say that the majority of my clients are fertility and pregnancy, but with a few people that come for headaches, menopause, I've got a couple of long COVID people as well at the moment. So it's brilliant. It's brilliant medicine. I say it's ancient medicine for modern times, really adaptable, with virtually no risks attached.
Yeah. So it must be particularly reassuring to have some, you know, to be having, particularly when you're pregnant and for fertility as well, I imagine, to have an acupuncturist who is also a very experienced midwife too. I mean, those two things together seem like a beautiful kind of package of care, knowing that is obviously, like you say, very very safe, you know, and it must be very reassuring for people. Do you find that?
Yeah, I think so. And I think when people do come to see me, they've got that, you know, that whole appointment for their treatment, but also to pick my brains, to work out what's going on for them, to talk about it, to see what their options are. I usually have things that I can share with them, or you know, resources to point them in the right direction. So I think they get more than an acupuncture treatment, definitely, when they come to see me. And I think also, I think many acupuncturists are a bit worried about pregnancy. Obviously, they don't have the depth of knowledge that I have. So I know very clearly who is suitable to treat and what I'm going to do. You know, I know if something's not entirely okay in a pregnancy, I would know immediately whether to refer back. I would know what the likely progression of, for example, high blood pressure, preeclampsia, a baby that wasn't growing very well, you know, the things that we can do to help that, to increase the blood flow to the uterus and to the placenta, if you've got a baby that's not growing very well. Acupuncture is something that we can do, that may help, but I would never say, well, you can do this and you don't need to listen to your obstetricians. Would always be feeding back into their main care providers as well. So I'm not setting you up against your care providers. I'm adding value there, really.
Yeah, and adding a different means.
And I've got different tools.
Yes.
You know, many, I mean, it's surprising, isn't it? The number of people that have got a baby that's breech, quite often they're telling me when they come for something else that they, just in their language, or they're uncomfortable. I can pick up that a baby's breech even before I palpate. And I would treat earlier than the NHS take any notice of a breech presentation. So anyone that's thinking that they've got a lump under their ribs at 32, 33 weeks, I'd love to see them then, because there's a really high chance that with some acupuncture, some cupping over the lower back and some moxibustion, that this baby's going to be head down and you're not going to face any of the stressful conversations around how this baby's going to be born. But, you know, often the NHS are not even interested before 36 weeks. And that reduces your chance of actually getting this baby into the best position.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point. All things seem to be, oh, we don't know that yet. We'll talk about that in that 36 yeah. weeks suddenly seems like that's when everything starts happening, which, yeah. you know, if people are already, especially as well as the practicalities of turning the baby, also the worry that you might have a whole month or 6 weeks or longer that you're worrying about, and the stress of that. So that yeah. in yourself, that can be done, that, you know, that surely would be a beneficial thing for the baby and for the pregnant person.
Yeah. Yes.
You've mentioned, let's talk a little bit more. You mentioned breech, and then you mentioned some acupuncture, you mentioned cupping, and you mentioned moxibustion. So just so people understand a little bit more about what that means, what those are.
Okay. So acupuncture, I use fine sterilized needles, and there are a number of meridians in the body. This is, as I've said, ancient medicine, been used for thousands of years to effect change in the body. It can be used to increase blood flow, to balance hormones, And amazingly, some of these points will actually increase the activity in a baby, produce prostaglandins, and encourage the baby to be active enough to turn itself from bottom down to head down. So if I was seeing somebody for breech, I might I would palpate first, see where the baby is lying. It would give me an idea of how big the baby was, how much movement there was, whether the baby just was, whether it was easy to move, whether there was any space. Sometimes you can palpate and you think this baby's a really good size and it feels really fixed. And that's usually later on in pregnancy, but from 30 to 33 weeks, often right up to 36 weeks, there's still space, and the chances are this baby is going to be easy to encourage into a different position. So what I might do then is look at the lower back and use some cups. I've got some little silicone cups. They're like suction cups that I would use probably over the SI joints. Really, the aim would be to just see if we could just free up a little bit more space in the pelvis, and that might help. And then I might use some acupuncture points, or I might not, depending on what I felt. Some points possibly in the top of the leg at the side that influence the quality of the muscles and the ligaments. Again, if we can get a bit more give there, that might be helpful. I might not use it. I might not use acupuncture if you've got pelvic girdle pain, because it's quite likely that you've got a good amount of relaxing in your body and you've got enough anyway. So, you know, no one size fits all person, but what I then would do is show you how to use moxa. And moxa is the mugwort herb. I use it in a kind of charcoal stick, light it in a candle and wait until it gets really hot. It'll go white hot like barbecue charcoal. And I use it on the outer point of the little toe, the bladder 67 point. And I show you how to use it safely at home. And then I recommend that I give you some to take home, and recommend that you use it daily for 10 days, twice a day, if possible, on each point for 10 days, and then see what's happening then. Quite often, a baby will turn in those 10 days. If that happens and you felt a really big movement, then I'd usually suggest that you half the time that you do it, maybe do it once a day, because that kind of helps the baby to stay in the right position then. So yeah, that's how Moxa works. If it doesn't work, you can have if you started early, you can have a 5-day break and then do another 10-day course. If you're starting quite late, it's still worth doing. If you discover at 36 weeks that your baby's breech, they will probably start to talk to you about ECV or external cephalic version. And we seem to see that women who have used Moxa prior to an ECV have an easier and more successful ECV. So it's really worth doing. So it's kind of one treatment, really. You'd come and see me for one treatment, I'd give you some Moxa to take away. It's a faff, and I think that compliance may not be as good as it could be. I think the reality of sitting or getting someone else to light this Moxa and use it on the outer aspect of your little toe every day for 10 days might be a pain.
How long, but if it gets your baby head down.
So ideally 20 minutes each point. So it's quite a long time to sit there and do it yourself. I say that if you're not going to, if you're thinking this is too much, 10 minutes each point is better than nothing.
Yes.
So just do something. Don't just think I haven't got 40 minutes.
And I think it is that thing. Yeah, everybody, you know, everyone's lives are busy. There's busy things going on. But if it's something that could be, you know, that supportive, that gives the baby the opportunity, if it's right for them, to turn, then overall, if you like, the time saving...
It's a small amount.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, we do so much. We are so busy in general. that giving yourself that time, 20 minutes, 40 minutes, and that sitting and not, is a good thing that we don't do enough. It is not wasted time. It's not, oh, I should be doing this, I could be doing that. Give yourself the time in pregnancy to have that time. Use that time to bond with the baby, to do a relaxation practice, do a breathing practice. Do something for you as well, and use that time just to gaze out the window, just to daydream. It is, you know, there are benefits to all of those things. So, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. It seems like a small investment in time for an overall very, you know, positive potential benefit, definitely. Yeah, really helpful. So anytime from 32 weeks, you would say, if people are suspecting, that would be a good time just to have that encouragement. And I really like the idea of that it's not one size fits all, that obviously you give the treatment based on exactly what is happening for that woman and that baby at that time.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Excellent. Okay. So turning breech baby. Amazing. Yep. You mentioned as well pelvic girdle pain, and I know that I have sent many women and they come back to rave reviews from coming to see you with pelvic girdle discomfort and acupuncture and how that can be supportive for that as well.
Yeah. Now, pelvic girdle pain is just such a horrible, horrible symptom of pregnancy. And it occurs really when there's probably a good amount of relaxin, the hormone that relaxes all your muscles, at work there. And so women often present with back pain, sciatic pain, pain in the front of their pelvis. Any of these are just related to pelvic pain. And acupuncture is absolutely brilliant for it. I've had people presenting as early as 20, 22 weeks, which is, you know, half of your pregnancy, to be really miserable. And then to come back and say, gosh, it's just, you know, the pain's gone from a 7 out of 10 to a 3. And I was able to stand and chop the vegetables, and I was able to go for a walk and things like that. It's, you know, it has a huge impact, really. It's not very difficult to treat. So generally you'd come and see me, lie on my nice warm couch. I'd lie you on one side, put some needles in, probably in your lower back, maybe one into your buttocks, some down the back of your leg and side of your leg, and some in your feet. Put my nice hot, nice warm heat lamps on you, and let you have a good 15, 20 minutes to relax, and then turn over and do, not quite the same, because I do most of them on one side and then just do a couple on the other side. So the second side isn't quite as long to lie and relax. So I think generally they're nice relaxing treatments. Some people will lie down and chill out, and other people have just got a million questions and we just sit and chat while the needles are in. So it's for you to use that appointment time as you want to, really. But it generally is effective. I usually suggest weekly treatments for about 4 weeks. And I haven't had anybody that's not had a really good improvement in that time. And then I usually say you can, you know, spread them out if you want to, see how things go. I would say that usually people continue to come either fortnightly, and then maybe weekly again at the end, when I can add in birth preparation points as well. So it seems to work. And that, the other thing is that most people seem to have had quite good labours as well. So I think it's more than treating the pelvic girdle pain. It's getting you really well prepared for labour.
Yeah, which is really important. And I think it is really important, because often, and I hear this from so many people, they say to their midwife, oh, my, you know, I've got sciatica, I've got this, I can't stand, I've got this achiness, I can't sleep, my pelvis, and often it's dismissed as, oh, well, you're pregnant, that's just what happens. And that is so frustrating, because yes, the relaxing levels can elevate and it can cause that discomfort, but there are things that can be helpful, like acupuncture, and that yes, it isn't offered within the NHS, but that isn't me. Well, why not at least mention it, rather than just dismiss it as, well, you've just got to get on with it, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, and the evidence base is there. you know, it's not that they would be saying anything that is outside their scope of practice. The evidence base for acupuncture for pelvic girdle pain is there. I know. Or it might be go on a waiting list. Somebody was told, well, you can't go on the waiting list for a physio yet because you're only 24 weeks. And by the time they do see a physio, they've already Googled the information that they're going to get anyway.
Yeah, I know. And at the moment, I know some of those appointments are like telephone conversations because of COVID. They're not even seen in person after that waiting. It's really frustrating. So knowing that there are other other options that do have an, you know, an evidence base as well, I think is really important that, that women, that people get the full picture, that, that people are informed about all the options that are available. And then it's up to them, of course. They might go, that is not for me, and that's absolutely fine. But at least you knew it was there. And that's I think what's often missing, isn't it? Sad and frustrating. So you mentioned it, the birth preparation as well. Let's talk about acupuncture for that.
So birth preparation acupuncture has been used in lots of countries, but the person that really got my attention was somebody called Deborah Betts, who's an acupuncturist from New Zealand. And back in, I think, the 1990s, she was working with some New Zealand midwives, and she taught them to do birth preparation acupuncture. And what they reported was that these women had better labours. They seemed to go into labour without needing a medical induction. And if they did need an induction, it was easier. So I thought, oh, this really got my interest in my training. And I thought, I really want to do that. I want women to be in a situation where their bodies are just ready for birth. And so they're not faced with this horrible trawl of an induction, quite simply because they haven't gone into labour by the date that somebody has said would be their date. So, so I have, right from the word go, offered birth preparation acupuncture. Initially, I started to offer from 36 weeks. I now think that because there is so much pressure to be induced so much earlier, that it is worth starting earlier. So I would see people from 34 weeks now. And generally I'd say weekly treatments from 34 weeks. We look at balancing your hormones, preparing the cervix, so talk about things that I know you talk about, Susan, about dates and raspberry leaf tea, about positioning. We can use points that will optimize the position of the baby. Again, it's an opportunity to talk about all those things, birth preparation, any concerns that you have, absolutely anything. So they're lovely treatments. I really love treating treating women for birth preparation. And again, what I'm seeing is that generally women are going into labour, or if they're quite often there might be a flurry of activity just running up to a an induction date. And yeah, sometimes then I might use electroacupuncture, where I have a little a small machine that I can attach electrodes to some of the points, and it feels a little bit like a TENS machine. You get the kind of pulsating, tingling feeling. I would only turn it up to the point that you can tolerate, so it's not about blasting you with electricity or anything. And I usually describe that as increasing the dose of acupuncture. You know, like any medicine, you need the appropriate dose. Yeah. And sometimes you can push the body just a little bit further. It's definitely not about trying to induce labour, but it's about helping the body to respond well. So sometimes electroacupuncture is the thing that will just give you that nudge over the line, I think. I can use all of those methods. Sometimes I would do leg massage as well, and possibly use some essential oils there. And that's really nice if you've got swollen legs at the end of pregnancy and things. So, yeah.
And I think just having that, you know, that time to, you know, if they want to use it in this way, just to to talk about this and to release any kind of worries and fears. And because obviously you are, as well as specific training in acupuncture for maternity and fertility and all of this, but you are also midwife too. So that reassurance, because we know that within the system, if you have an NHS midwife, just how busy they are and how short the appointments are, and how, you know, the thing that to lots of women feels missing is that they just don't feel heard and listened to, that there isn't time, if it's not a specific medical clinical need, then just to talk about the upcoming birth and how they're feeling and the labour and their body and all of those things just isn't covered within maternity services. And it's a real massive missing piece, isn't it? So having that ability to do that, as well as in combination benefit from the acupuncture treatment itself, is huge.
It is huge. I know, I have the best job in the world. It just come back. It means that I can be, you know, it means that I can be with women in the way that I always imagined I would be able to be as a midwife, and found that as time went on, I wasn't able to do that. But yeah, I can, you know, I can work with your agenda. I'm not ticking anyone else's boxes. No. And, you know, hard as that is, and it's not said with any disrespect to the midwives that are ticking those boxes, they're doing a flipping hard job. Yeah. And, you know, huge respect to them all. And I absolutely am not in a place to set anyone up against their care providers. But, you know, I can be that person at that point in your pregnancy that just holds that space that you need. Mm-hmm. You know, might be to provide you with some information or to point you in the right direction, but it's your time. It's your time to use as you want. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as much as women, the pregnant people are frustrated often, I'm absolutely sure that the midwives only able to give that amount of care and time are equally desperately frustrated by how the system is having to work as well. Yeah. Not for lack of wanting to have the ability to do all these things. It's just not possible. It's just not how the system is able to function at the moment, which it's just good for the people, you know, that there is other support out there. And I think it's, again, just knowing that there are other people and services and support external to the NHS that are available. And often people don't know that. We seem to be very aware that if we need a physio, we've got a running injury, we can go to our doctor, go to the NHS, or we can find a private one. And that's very commonplace that people would do that. And it's just known about in general, but often people aren't aware of any additional maternity support services that exist. And there are so many. And so many brilliant people and very experienced people like yourself doing that. But it doesn't seem to be common knowledge at all.
Yeah. And I think there is a reliance on care providers to tell you everything that you need to know. Mm. You know, the number of people I hear saying, well, I'm going to wait and see what my midwife tells me about my antenatal classes. And I think, oh, my goodness. She's not going to tell you anything. Go somewhere else. Go and see Susan is usually what I say. But, you know, you need to work out what you want, because you're not going to get what you want.
Mm. No. And I always, you know, I have to choose my words carefully and my thoughts carefully. But it is just a knowing that antenatal classes, certainly where we're based in York locally, there isn't particularly a provision within the NHS. I know it's different in different parts of the country, different parts of the world, but a course that is run by a certain trust, a certain hospital, is based upon what normally happens and what in that hospital based on their guidelines, which may not well be the full picture of choice and scope and options, let's just say. So it's all taking you down a pathway that fits very nicely with how they work and what financial limitations they have and all of that, which might
and how to make you a good patient.
Yes. Compliant. How you can fit in nicely to what suits them. But this is something that is not, you know, it's birth. It's something unique that often happens in a hospital setting, but it isn't like anything else that happens in a hospital setting. And it's just important to know that there is a big scope of choices and options, and you might be, what they're suggesting might be absolutely perfect for you, and it might be exactly the way you want to go, and that's great. But when you know more, some of those choices and options might be different, and that can absolutely be accommodated within that system, but you have to know to ask.
Yeah.
And that's the things you're not given. And that's, yeah, like if you ask about acupuncture, then your midwife might say, oh yes, that's available, not on the NHS, but there are people who do that, and might give the information, but it's not offered to you. That's the sort of ridiculous thing. If you don't ask the question, you don't get.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, so breech babies, pelvic girdle issues, birth preparation, amazing. Yeah. Kind of going back in time, if you like, to for people perhaps have heard more in women's health, and this is maybe where people have either experienced or heard about acupuncture, and you said it's where your kind of journey to become an acupuncturist started actually as well, so fertility acupuncture.
I love it. So acupuncture can, you know, can really work on the root causes of infertility. So the starting place really obviously is taking a detailed history of where you're at, but the way that I then work is to look at your cycle. How can we optimize your menstrual cycle? What's it telling us? I might ask you to chart your temperature and look at your cervical mucus and start to look at where what actually is happening. Are you getting a long enough second half of your cycle? Are you getting pain? Are you passing clots? So the first real treatment is to optimize your cycle, to regulate it. And I find that acupuncture generally settles the cycle fairly quickly, actually. So and that's often enough for natural conception, that cycle awareness. So many people come to me saying I'm trying, or I've had a baby and my cycle's all over the place, and I want another one. And they're the people that often get settled quite quickly. Often there's a huge anxiety around fertility, and there's some unpicking to do there as well, looking at what's going on. And some people come to me when they're about to start having IVF, or they're on a waiting list for that. Yeah. And those are the people that I would usually say, I like to work with you for 3 months before you start your IVF. And that's because in those 3 months, we can optimize your cycle. The acupuncture can have a huge impact on your egg health. So lots of people think, oh, we've had these eggs in our bodies since before we were conceived. And that's it, they're just getting old. But actually there's a 3 month period when they're maturing, and having acupuncture during that 3 month period, along with lifestyle issues like not drinking, not smoking, improving your diet, taking supplements, can mean that these eggs can mature in a really good quality environment with more blood, more oxygen. So it makes sense really that you're going to be maturing better quality eggs, and that's really key when you're going to have IVF. Some people will conceive on that journey. I've had somebody say that her IVF drugs arrived and she did a pregnancy test and she was pregnant. Wow. So you know, there's lots of stories there really. It's also useful if for same-sex couples that are going to be going down the IUI, possibly an IVF route, again, to be working and supporting through that as well. And then once any reproductive interventions that are taking place, I'm usually seeing people twice weekly through the stimulation phase, where they're injecting drugs to stimulate their production of their eggs, sometimes around about egg retrieval, and then pre and post embryo transfer, and often throughout the first trimester as well. So it's a lovely journey. It's lovely for me to be working with people through that time. Sometimes I see men are not so quick to come forward for fertility treatment. I did some training with a male acupuncturist from Brighton, actually, and he runs a male fertility support group.
Amazing.
And so he's talking to men all the time, and he said they don't even go through his door. So, right. So yeah. I think to see a couple for me and now and again is quite good, but just for people to know that actually, just as eggs take 3 months to mature, so does sperm. And optimizing that environment is really important to them as well. So that's another treatment. Also been involved with surrogacy.
Yeah.
So that's another exciting option. And obviously then working with people that have been unsuccessful on this journey, either through miscarriage or just not conceiving. It's a hard journey to be on, and those women still need support, and I hope that I can continue to offer that, as they just, you know, some people do get to the end of this journey and decide that is it, we're calling it a day. And coming to terms with that is a challenge as well.
Absolutely.
And knowing when to say enough is enough. Some people then move on to donor conception, and that's another area to consider. So there's always plenty to be thinking about and to have that knowledge really of. I think one of the other things is choosing your fertility clinic. Again, lots of people think that they haven't got any choices. You know, you're in this area, you might get one cycle of IVF on the NHS and you're sent to a particular clinic. If you don't meet that criteria and you're going to have to fund it yourself, then there's lots to consider.
Absolutely. And, yeah, there is, definitely.
Yeah, and I would say if that is the situation, you really need to be doing your homework.
Yeah,
and looking. And for that, I can offer a coaching strategy session.
Yeah.
Don't just go
with the nearest
to the nearest place.
No,
there's lots. You need to do your homework.
What your issue is and which clinic serves you best.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of money to pay. Yeah. To just default to what might not, when you look at the success rates and their experience and expertise, be at all the right clinics. It might be, but travelling a little bit further within an hour or two of here, there is a huge range of choice and some excellent clinics that have really good rates and that might well be, let's say, for certain issues, much better than the closest one you might be sent to.
Yeah, and also I think just when you're looking at the statistics, you need to remember that they don't tell the whole story. For example, when I had my twins, somebody, you could have looked at the clinic statistics and think that, you know, I skewed those massively as a 40-year-old conceiving first time with IVF. I was a single woman, I used donor sperm. I had no known fertility problems or anything at that point. You know, that is a very different situation to someone who's been trying to conceive for 10 years.
Yes.
With multiple failed IVF. So, you know, when numbers are so small, you're not comparing apples with apples. So you need to be thinking of other things that can work in your favour. And I think the reception that you get from the clinic is really important. How did you feel when you went in? You know, go to the open days, go and meet people if you can. I know for me, when I chose my clinic, I phoned round and immediately wrote off a number of them at the reception that I had from them just on the telephone. And then when I phoned the clinic I went to, someone said, why don't you come and have a look? And then she told me that she was the nurse that worked with single women and older women. And I immediately thought, this is what I want. This is essentially my midwife through this journey. This is the woman that is going to walk alongside me through this journey. And I knew that that's what I needed.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it can be a very lonely
and
difficult and potentially long journey. And you need to feel supported, you know, absolutely, just like women need to feel supported through pregnancy as well. You know, it's hard on people, you know, if you're a single person, it's hard on couples if it's a couple going through it, and that can throw up all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And having that support is definitely really important, and feeling confident in your choices as well.
Yeah.
Like you said.
Yeah. I think I would say as well, the emotional stuff, if your emotional well-being is not optimized through this journey, your chances are going to be compromised. You need to be taking care of your emotional health. Acupuncture is one of the things that you can do there. Coaching is really helpful. I certainly did some training as an emotional health coach for fertility as well. So I can work with people that I'm not seeing for acupuncture on the emotional side of it. Many clinics have got counsellors. The main focus of counselling for IVF or assisted conception is welfare of the child. It's not necessarily, there might be a bit of a conflict to going to empty your bucket there with that counsellor. If you're not, you may feel that there's a perceived conflict, whether there is or not. So it might be that you want to seek some support out of that clinic. Yeah, but it is important to get that support. So things like, you know, meditation, relaxation, visualization are all the things that really, there is some evidence that these are going to improve outcomes, and you're going to certainly feel better.
Yeah, I think that's really true. When I run, I do fertility yoga courses, workshops, and I work one-to-one with people as well. And that main focus is to do with that down regulation of the nervous system. So lots of restorative yoga, lots of meditation and visualization and calming breath work to give you tools that you can use yourself as well.
Yeah.
Through the process, because to look after yourself, it's just so important in a period of time that is inevitably really stressful, stressful, really difficult. And if you have to go through that more than once, if you know people have had losses, it's incredibly hard, and you know, you just need to soldier on. And
yeah,
you know, it's really, like you say, through the coaching and things, being able, counseling, whatever, being able to talk about it as well, and not just suppressing all these things, having tools to deal with it, not just the medical side of the IVF, obviously, as well, looking at a more holistic approach, definitely important.
Yeah,
absolutely. Great, thank you for that, Anne. And then the final, I guess, part of the journey is after baby arrives, the postnatal, the motherhood journey, supporting that phase. And I always think that thing of postnatal in people's heads, which drives me mad. Oh, 6 weeks postnatal check, and that's no, postnatal is the rest of your life once you've had a child, isn't it? It doesn't
end. It certainly is, yeah. Yes. 16 years postnatally.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So what can acupuncture do to support women in that?
So there's a lovely treatment called mother warming that we can use. It's generally two treatments, really. A lovely one on round about day 4 or 5, using Moxa. So again, the mugwort herb that we used to turn breeches, that I use for lots of things, but it's great for, it's really deeply penetrating. So use it across the abdomen and the lower back. It just really helps with bleeding, reducing the blood, but just it's deeply nourishing and restful. So those two treatments, usually some acupuncture in the second treatment, but supportive treatments that help you to relax, help you to restore you from kind of the tiredness, the emotional aspect of it. So lovely, lovely treatments in the early days of, of parenthood. And then after that, lots of things. I mean, acupuncture can help with lactation. It can help with, it's hugely helpful for anxiety, for low mood, generally general well-being. Yeah, so lots of treatments. It's pain, whatever. It's probably worth sending a message if you've got something that's needing some attention. Can you treat it? Because probably the answer is yes.
Yeah, yeah. And that having that kind of support and nourishment as well for yourself is so important. You know, you've gone through, you know, however your labour's been, however you've birthed the baby, there is a physical recovery of your body, but there's also this whole field of hormones up and down and emotions and so much caught up in that. And then everything seems focused kind of inevitably, yes, on the baby and caring for the baby, but it is all consuming and overwhelming. And we've kind of lost that input that we would have had in other cultures, in ancient cultures, where people were there to mother the mother who was then looking after the baby. And now that part of this whole maternity journey has been forgotten, and the mother is just, from society perception, is, well, just get on with it, you've had a baby, what you know, and you trying to do lots of other things, caring for the children. That mothering of the mother is not there, is not a cultural thing anymore, and it should be, and it needs to be, and it's not given enough focus at all. So this sounds lovely. Anything that can give something back to replenish and nourish that at any time, but at that super important time, sounds brilliant.
Yeah. And I think that opportunity to talk through your birth experience, if you need to do that, or to answer any questions, or to, I mean, not everybody wants to do that, but lots of people do want to go through things. And I'm able to interpret that, obviously, with my midwife head on, as well as my acupuncturist.
Yeah, and that would be also invaluable, I think, invaluable as well, that processing of it. Because it is, however your birth has been, however long or short, or wherever it took place, or whether it was as you'd imagined or something far, far different, there is a processing that happens. And being able to talk about that in a safe, supportive space is hugely important. And again, we don't give the spaces for that. It's just not there within the support postnatally as standard, unfortunately.
Yeah. And then I guess there's the rest of your life, isn't there? Our hormones, hold us to ransom sometimes, and we need support. And then there's the, are we going back to work, and how are we going to manage to juggle all of those things, and often the anxiety associated with that, and the real physical fatigue that can be a really big deal too. So
so lots of support and lots of key times in women's lives. Absolutely, that sounds brilliant. Thank you, Anne. Thank you so much. So one final question, if this is okay, that I ask everybody on the podcast, and it's a really hard question, I know, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because I think it's a really important question, and to hear this from different people. So what is the one thing that you wish every mother or mother-to-be knew? One piece of information, or one thing that you just wish was out there that people would know?
Yeah, it's got to be that the NHS isn't going to tell you everything that you need to know.
Yeah, that's a really, really valuable point. Yeah, definitely. Great. Thank you, Anne. And finally, where can people find you? I'm going to write out the links to this in the show notes, but your website or social media links or whatever you'd like to share is the best way for people to find you.
Yeah. So my website is www.annegledhillmyhill.com. I am on Facebook. And if you search on my name, you'll find a fertility coach page, a pregnancy and acupuncture page. I have great intentions of being more active on social media, and I'm not anywhere near where I'd like to be. But you can find me and you can message me and I will respond. So yeah, definitely send me a message if you think that I might be able to help. If I can't, I will tell you I can't, and point you in the right direction. But yeah.
Amazing. Oh, that's great. Thank you so much. And I will put all those links in the show notes as well so people can find them. But thank you so much for all of that and for your time and sharing all that information. And I'm sure that is hugely supportive and beneficial to so many people, and I'm kind of uncovered lots of things that will definitely be of help and support for all sorts of women's health issues. And yeah, thank you so much, Anne.
Fabulous. Great. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Anne. You're very welcome.
Okay.
Thank you for listening. It's great to have you here, and I really do appreciate your support too. I hope you've enjoyed this episode, and if you have, then please don't forget to subscribe. And if you could leave a review or share with other mothers and mothers-to-be that you know, well, I'd be eternally grateful. You can join me as well on my online platform at www.formodernmothers.com, where you'll find show notes and lots more goodness and resources all about thriving and making your own unique path as a mother in the modern world, as well as details of all my programs, online courses, my classes and coaching packages too. And do follow me over on Instagram too at For Modern Mothers, or on Facebook, and be part of my social community. I'd love to connect with you there. Take care, amazing woman.